Blog Talk Radio.
I'm the beast and the best.
And that's the only place to listen to wrestling, I do believe. Yeah, dig it. Yeah. It's a special edition.
That's
Dan.
Traffic music elsewhere.
It is. Stop it. I hate that you
told you
me
that.
I do.
They've been doing
but
it like for 20
to,
years.
Okay, shush, Dan. Calm down.
All right, I'm
sorry. Dial it down. You're on 11. So, welcome to a special edition. This is the Fan Appreciation Summit Symposium and the three of us came up with that. Of course, that's myself, Dan, and
the guy sitting all the way over there.
That's right. Omega Squad Chris Green.
The third wheel.
Now,
I told you.
Yep.
This is a good thing, though. It's the first time we have actually broadcast together, ever. And we are joined by two special guests. Dan?
Joe Hale. No, I'm sorry.
How about you introduce them in the hashtag future of the business shirt?
Yes. He's wearing the shirt of a man who's had a real show done. Oh, Jesus. I already went there. I met the man at an ECWA show, and we yelled at each other. For
that was
minutes
that was,
and minutes and minutes and minutes.
That was probably the first impression, yeah.
To the point where we're so friendly, I got a birthday dinner out of the guy.
You did.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Olson's here.
Bill, welcome to Hell in a Cell.
Where's the fake clap over the air?
How you doing?
Yeah, let's do that. Now, the man to his left, well, my left.
You're right.
I think it's his right.
His left, his right.
Was I right? I don't know.
So yeah, like the left side of the parking lot?
Also joining us is the man with the Colt Cabana shirt. It is George Byrne. Now, George, he was a latecomer, but he has become one of our biggest supporters. Within the past 3 or 4 months, I think it was after Reign of Fire, New Moon Rising Wrestling, we had our first...
Reign of Fire.
Reign of Fire, that's the epicenter. If you were to take... But anyway, that's not for now. That's not for now. Now, that is...
Yeah, it's live, baby.
True. Now, George, of course, big supporter of the show. And we're going to get into both these guys' stories, how they became wrestling fans, how they became fans.
I was born in 1942.
But before that, I'm of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. With me to my left the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Colachico.
Yo, follow me on Twitter, DanLaw83.
And, of course, our MMA wrestling analyst. And we're going to get into our story, how Hell in a Cell started in the first place. It's Omega Squad Chris Green.
Hello, follow me at Omega Squad on Twitter.
That's right. Now,
this is officially a shoot.
Well, the way that Hell in a Cell started, it was actually Rotten Tomatoes. Now, Chris, take it from there. You had some trouble spelling a certain Disney film.
Yes. The whole Hell in a Cell thing came about because of a Disney animated musical.
That's right.
What?
You didn't know this.
I did not know this.
Information. So Rotten Tomatoes has a blog feature and
ratings,
you can review movies, that type of thing. That's the whole purpose, and I wasn't doing it terribly frequently.
We weren't doing it right.
Yeah.
We certainly weren't. We were just blogging about personal details of our lives, I think it was. I think the best blog I've ever seen on the internet was his journey from where the hell were you going?
Well, I was just going to upstate New York.
And this this hellish journey that he undertook. But getting back to the story, because we do tangents here on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
What?
Yes.
Never.
Hardly ever happened.
Getting back to the story, Aladdin apparently was that.
Yeah, apparently I don't know how to spell Aladdin. So Dean in his infinite wisdom.
I was the Dean of Credibility before I.
Yes. Had to make sure that I knew how to spell Aladdin.
Didn't know who he was. Had no idea who this man was.
Well, in reality, what happened is I couldn't find Aladdin because they had a search feature on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes, to rate it.
I couldn't find it. I was bitching on the blog that I can't find Aladdin. And it's because maybe it's because you're spelling it wrong.
And from there, a friendship was born.
How are you spelling Aladdin?
I think it was
Aladdin, which is wrong.
Aladdin.
Yeah. I spelled it with two L's instead of one.
So that is where it started. A friendship happened. We found out. But we found out we were wrestling fans. Started talking about wrestling, I believe, Raw and things and things of that nature. Another guy came along, Elegy. I forget his real name.
He's dead now.
No, J. Dale Thurman.
Yeah.
Is his real name.
We called him Dale.
Yeah, we called him Dale or Elegy, whatever it was. I always go with the kayfabe names. Well, I know people's real names in wrestling. Like, I know Ophidian. I know different people's names.
No, Ophidian is not a character. You don't do that to me.
Don't be a gimmick killer.
No, don't. That's a real snake.
I destroyed Bill's life forever when I told him the secret of the identity of one of his favorite masked wrestlers.
Are you talking about
Derpy Derp? Yeah.
Don't.
We're keeping that quiet. Yeah. We're not letting the cat out of the box. So basically what we did,
my $30.
But we took over a sub-forum on, because basically every, but we took over, I forget what forum it was, but it was probably, because every Rotten Tomato movie that was listed had its own forum. So we found, I don't know, it might have been a Steven Seagal movie. And
I don't remember which one it was.
But we took over that forum.
Yeah.
And we started.
Just because you're so active?
Well,
we just took it over on purpose.
Nobody was using it.
Yeah.
It was a vacant forum because every movie on there, even like, Man in the Moon and that sort of thing, all that stuff was just its own forum. So we took over a forum, and then I said, why don't we just start a forum? And from there, we had pay-per-view prediction forums. No, but we had pay-per-view. It was a pretty lively forum for the amount of people that were there, maybe 10, 15 people.
We had 15 people that were probably active at any given point. And then, but we talked. It was just like your regular message board on the internet. You had talk wrestling. You talked stuff for off-topic junk. But, yeah, we had our.
It was really framed for the wrestling, I think.
Sure, yeah. It was primarily for the wrestling.
And I'll tell you what. I mean, it was pretty successful, and that sort of thing. It eventually died though. but it eventually died. The forum. And when do you think it? When did we lose touch of each other? I got off the internet.
Well, you called him fair.
Well, when you came down for Unforgiven 2006.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The first ever Hell in a Cell. Well, it wasn't talk radio at the time.
It wasn't Hell in a Cell talk radio, but the meetup was.
Yeah. The meetup we did see, which was headlined, if you guys don't recall. It was Batista, Bobby Lashley, Finlay, and Booker T was the champion for SmackDown at the time. That was our main event. But also noteworthy was what?
Oh, the return of Chris Benoit.
The return of Chris Benoit before he murdered his family.
Yeah. Before he killed his son and killed his wife.
Yeah, so we had
with
that.
With a crippled crossface.
Huh?
He had really short arms and a funny looking face.
Are we talking about Roughneck again?
No. You leave Roughneck alone.
I'm not going to leave Roughneck alone, but that's a discussion for a later time.
Okay.
So that's how it started. We kind of lost track, I guess, in 07, 08.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know the exact reasons, but 07.
But we just lost, and it happens sometimes, especially internet friendships. They just kind of go away. So then I started a page. It was just a page kind of like on Facebook. It was just a page to, I guess, celebrate that forum. It was, I forget what I called it, but I think I just called it Hell in a Cell originally. And invited you and invited some of the guys that were part of that forum. And not to like start up the whole thing again. But then the thing with Tony Bean happened. We had a falling out there.
You want to talk about that real quick?
No. We had a falling
out. No, not in detail, but
we had a falling out with Tony
Lane.
You
came and left. You had other issues. I basically practically begged you to come back.
Well, yeah,
please,
I mean,
give me somebody. You know, it's like reacting to a wall. Please come back so I have something to do on Sunday.
But it became apparent that I knew that I could do a podcast better than what Tony Lane.
We wanted to move on to do different things. Like, I think I talked to 4 years of my life wasted. We talked about doing a live show forever. And how many have we done?
Too many to count at this point.
This one is one too many.
Yeah. But started the own podcast. Originally, it was Dan, myself, and Mark Thompson. Mark Thompson went back to terrestrial radio. He had some issues with his some domestic issues, George.
I got correct.
Yes. That she did not want him involved in a podcast.
Did we?
Hey, you know what? If you tell me, it's out there. You can't trust me with a secret. It wasn't really a secret. He was just. But anyway, so he left the podcast. But you were there kind of from the fifth episode on. You came on. Basically, Omega started out just, and Bill, you know this. You just started out maybe a 15-minute segment. We're talking about, and it's become my favorite part of the show.
He's like, I'm going to bring Chris on. I was like, okay, he's on, isn't he?
Yeah.
Why is he not on the whole show?
See, because you were very adamant in the beginning when I was getting him on. He was very adamant behind the scenes where you did not want to be committed to the podcast. It's like, I'll come on every once in a while, and here you are in New Jersey.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a wife and kids that I've, you know.
Yeah,
I ignore every Wednesday night.
I love them, kinda.
But no, I mean, now you're part of the show. You've had some of the best segments on the show. I think the Tully Blanchard thing.
Oh yeah,
that's like
never. You didn't see the cage match between myself and
yes.
Magnum TA.
Yes, I was there, Dan.
Well, then you didn't do your due diligence. As I know, I like replaying this.
Yes. Well, you know, the fans can go back and replay it ad nauseum.
On MMA around
they
here.
Can. They can, but
I mean, we keep getting recaps. So
here's a recap.
Remember that part?
And again. Remember when you made a complete jerk of yourself?
Here's our WCW flashback reference again. Go, Dan.
Yeah.
Remember when?
Okay, so moving right along. That's pretty much the start of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. You came on for just a segment. Dan was always there from the beginning. I think, Dan, you've only missed
one show.
I think it was two.
Two shows.
It was two shows, but you still made an appearance. You still made an appearance before.
I
No, three. You did miss three.
I called in on the one.
You missed three.
Yeah, that one, the first one.
Yeah.
I refuse to not at least call in technically be on the show.
Yeah, but Chris has been on pretty much every week. There's only a few times that you missed things. But I like the new vibe that we have.
I like doing the show. It's just sometimes you can't always do the show.
I can, but yeah.
Well, you know, that's fine.
Just saying.
Okay, Wednesday night. That might change soon when I have a job that has weird ass hours. So don't worry about.
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. So it will be the Chris and Dean show at that point. I'm glad you're sitting next to me now.
Didn't say I was leaving.
We can plant the seeds with that.
I didn't say I was leaving. So.
Are you going to work at Target?
George Burr has the worst Twitter. I'm sorry.
We have to talk about that Twitter picture a little bit later on. But now let's talk. We're going to turn the spotlight on one of our guests. And we're going to start with Bill. Now, Bill, your story.
Sorry.
But your story starts years ago. You were a big fan of TWA, the Tri-State Wrestling Alliance, under Joel Goodhart. Is that where you started, or?
No, I actually was watching wrestling as a kid with my grandfather, and when I got older, started going to live shows as a teenager. And
were you always in the Philadelphia area?
Yeah, we started out going to the Philadelphia Spectrum. Then
rest in peace. Sorry.
Then NWA started coming into town, and we started going to the convention center.
Okay.
Then met up with Joel down there. He was doing a actual radio show.
Well, the wrestling radio.
Wrestling radio was done in Center City. We would go down and listen to it in the courtyard and do on Sunday mornings and then go to breakfast afterwards with him. And he was doing luncheons with wrestlers and bus trips and...
Was this before he started TWA? He was doing these things?
Yeah, the luncheons.
In conjunction with his radio show.
Right. He would do the radio show, then Saturday, depending on when WCW or NWA, then WCW.
Well, Jim Crockett Promotions we're talking at the time. Okay.
He would bring them in for a luncheon and have a question and answer session, photographs with the wrestler, autographs, then go to the show, then... hotel afterwards, if you knew what hotel they were staying at.
And there were quite a few women that knew that hotel.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
But that was the early days. Now, you became friends with Joel through the years. You made trips down to the Memphis area, if I'm not mistaken. You told me a very interesting story one time about meeting Dustin Rhodes back in the early days. Go ahead and tell the story now, if you don't mind. I enjoy the story. It's a good story. So,
well, there was the Memphis trip. We leave out of Philly to go to Tennessee. We fly down. A group of like 35, 40 people going to Memphis. And wrestling fans at that. So the airport was real happy about seeing us at 6 o'clock in the morning. So we fly there. We go. We check into the hotel. First thing we do is, being 19, 20-ish at the time, we find the closest liquor store after dropping clothes off in our room and fill up one bathtub full of liquor, full beer, whatever. So, and it was a constant party from Friday till Tuesday afternoon.
I don't want to go.
We couldn't do that no more.
you couldn't run like that anymore, is what you're saying.
That sounds like fun. Man.
But there was something about sunburn.
Shut up, George. You're killing it for me.
Yeah. We get there Friday night, there was like a cocktail party with Jerry Lawler and Lance Russell. Then we would go. Friday night was a down night. Saturday we went to the TV tapings in Memphis. Then we would drive out to the Nashville Fairgrounds for the show at the Fairgrounds. Sunday there was a show in Arkansas. Monday was a down day at the hotel. This is in late August, so it's extremely hot in Memphis. Being completely hungover and still drinking, and kind of stayed out in the sun without sunscreen too long, and being fair-skinned leads to unbelievable sunburn.
Really bad case you had going on.
From the top of my head. Like, I had sunburn in my head.
On his head. Under the hair.
Yeah, because I had hair back then. I had long hair back then.
He did. You wouldn't believe it. I've seen pictures.
I can't picture that.
No, I've seen pictures.
I'll bring
yeah, and he did have a full thing going on, but
so
pick it up from there.
Because Dustin just come into the territory maybe a week. He was only there maybe a week before we got there. So he was still trying to get his self over, and Dusty was just coming into WWE. He was doing his Americana gimmick where he was the polka dot wearing.
Yeah.
So, being the nice fans that we are, we start yelling, he is the grandson of a plumber, because Dusty is the son of a plumber. And
so he's a grandson.
Dustin didn't find it too funny. Didn't go off on us or anything.
Didn't like it.
Because he had the opportunity to come to the hotel for breakfast one morning with us, and he's now busy. He didn't have the time, blah, blah, blah. So Monday we have the down day. We all get to go backstage to Mid-South Coliseum. I don't want to go back. I didn't even want to go to the Coliseum. I was in so much pain from the sunburn.
Horrible sunburn.
Yeah. And I'm now wearing just a baggy, like, Gold's Gym type shirt and Zubaz. I'm just sitting in the back trying to...
Wait. Before we move on, you had a Zubaz obsession.
Bad.
Really?
Bad.
It's okay. You're amongst friends.
You are amongst friends.
Yes.
Now, this is going out to all our listeners, though. I can't picture that. I can picture the hair. I can picture just about everything else that you've been saying.
Zubaz are comfortable when you are drunk.
Fair enough.
Here.
There you go. Okay. Let's give them a little bit of that.
I like that. We'll roll with that.
And you should be drunk if you were buying them back then.
It's a vicious circle.
Okay, so you're...
We're high.
You're in the Zubaz. You're backstage.
In pain. Trying to sober up, which probably wasn't a good idea at that point.
Probably not.
But anyway, Dustin decides he's going to come in and say hello to everybody and do a few pictures. I'm like, I gotta get Dustin's picture. I always like Dusty. So I'm like, I'm not even getting up to it. I'll pass. Dustin's like, come on. He kind of like called me over because I'm a little loud at the wrestling shows.
No.
That's an understatement, Chris. You'll find out tonight.
I've never heard you ever say a thing.
So, you know what? We'll talk a little bit later about some moments, you know, when I was on the other side of the guardrail that we had.
Hold on.
Because there were
hold
a few.
No,
yeah, exactly. But continue
hold
the
that
story.
Because they're good shit. It's good
so
stuff.
I go over to get the picture with Dustin. My friend's fumbling with his camera. I'm like, dude, take the picture. I want to just, like, go back in the corner and die.
Horrible sunburn. I believe that's good.
Dustin puts his arm around me.
And milk is a bad.
And I just, like, shrieking pain. And he's like, oh, you got sunburn? I'm like, not bad. Well, yep.
Oh, no.
Well, have you seen Dustin?
Because he remembered you from the day before.
Yeah, I was going to say, remember the heckle, right?
He's been getting heckled Friday night, Saturday night, twice on Saturday,
revenge
Sunday.
Is fine.
Well, he got even on Monday.
We call that a receipt in the biz, as they say.
He got a receipt.
So, slaps you on the back.
On the back. I fall to my knees in pain. And he felt horrible and left. Lawler then comes in to find out what's going on because there's a big commotion. He heard people crying. Or me crying.
Now, years later at a PWS show, you had the chance to talk to Dustin about this moment. Now, this is years later. This is obviously after...
Yeah, 15...
More than that.
15,
right?
He doesn't remember.
They don't, because it's more...
Oh, I was kind of hoping that he would remember that.
What I realized that night, the moments that you have with the wrestler is more important to you than to them.
Yeah.
Because it's their job, and it's your fantasy.
Yeah.
But... He was
really nice to you that night. I took the picture for you.
Finished off the story, he had to come back in and kind of apologize and see if I needed anything.
Oh, so Lawler sent him back in to apologize, or did he do it on his...
We were kind of a big group going there every year for years.
Yeah.
And to have an incident like that happen, which
But you deserve it. I mean, you can look back now.
Now I can say I deserve it. Back then, you didn't deserve it.
So back then you were being the Bill we all know and love. And
most love.
Yeah,
I don't think everyone does.
No, you know, there's one guy I can pretty much say that does not like you too much, and that would be Fredo Majors. Your impression of that? Do you think Fredo and Bill get along?
I didn't sense that Fredo and anybody got along.
The best thing said last night was Harry Barnett says to Fredo Majors, "You're a jobber on life."
Life's jobber, yeah.
Were you there when he said it?
He said that?
Yeah, he goes, mate, you're a jobber for life. It was on life or whatever it was, but it was the greatest thing, and everybody was just like, it was the best. He was burned so bad, he's still getting taped up. Now, George, I don't know much about your story. Of course, Bill and I have had the opportunity to go on a few shows, PWS. One of them that we have consistently gone to. Now, George, what's your story? How did you start?
It's going to be hard following that one. I don't have much of a story, but...
You have a story. Everybody has a story. Big CZW fan back in the day?
Yes.
But let's go back to how you started as a fan of this.
I got to blame my father for that one because him and my cousin were huge Billy Graham fans.
Superstar Billy Graham.
Billy Graham. In fact, drove from Seattle one night, Seattle City, mm-hmm. all the way up to the Spectrum. See Billy Graham in the cage.
Against?
I think Backlund. I was about.
So is this after?
I was maybe 3 or 4 months old. I heard the story.
Oh, okay. So.
But I heard Billy Graham stories my entire life, and of course my father did the pose and everything. And
so then you were probably disappointed when Billy Graham came back in '87. Very disappointed.
Well, I remember from the pennant that was hanging on.
Exactly. It's not the same. Different. It's two different people, really.
The bald guy came back, and there was a guy with hair on my wall, and they looked a lot different.
A lot different. But continue.
Seeds were planted there. Probably around, 8, 9 years old? I remember watching WrestleMania 2.
That was the first VHS tape.
I think Showtime showed it like 3 months later on my scrambled television. I remember watching it. All black and white. Sound was distorted, but I was just glued to the screen.
You weren't missing much on the commentary.
That's how. But a lot of the people in the room here,
back in the day with Comcast, you could put the pay-per-view number in twice and use the flashback button.
Yes.
And it would jam the pay-per-view for like a good few minutes at a time. And you could, if your parents wouldn't let you rent it, you could sit there and do that until, and the more you did it, the longer it stayed.
Yeah, so like it'd be 10 minutes, and then like 25, and then like after.
I didn't know that.
By the end of the pay per view, you could watch the rest of it.
That's good local knowledge, right there.
Yeah.
I did not know that trick. Son of a bitch! I didn't know that trick. You can't do that anymore, I'll tell you. But
how would you know?
Huh?
What?
No. Well, you can't do it anymore.
No,
you just get the free download streams.
True. You just wait for the torrent a few days later.
We don't condone that behavior at all. We're paying customers right here.
Yeah, that's true though. But what was I going to say? There was some tangent I was going to go off on. Oh, a little bit of trivia. The first VHS tape that we rented, it was 1986, was WrestleMania 2. Go ahead. It was the first one rented at John's Video in Millville, New Jersey. But go. Are you eating?
Yes.
Really?
I'm hungry.
Really? You couldn't wait until we were done.
You've been eating since we got here.
I know. This is what he does.
Come from a diner too? Oh, okay.
Do you notice how like he can't like?
I'm eating today.
You can't sit still.
You're asking George a question.
I'm sorry. We're getting back to George. Your story.
It's making me hungry.
I know he's sitting there stuffing his face. He doesn't offer us anything. anyway, so Superstar Billy Graham,
now,
WrestleMania 2.
Oh, here we go.
Now, hold on a second.
No,
damn. Superstar Billy Graham.
No, we did it.
For the fans.
He's not mine. I don't know.
Before this show, I got all you bitches coffee. I'm your bitch. You kiss my ass. I will eat.
Where's my coffee? See? Not
you
everybody.
You came late.
Not everybody.
Not everybody.
Yeah. Hold on a minute.
What
now.
Would you want on your That's coffee right. other than my balls dangling in it?
Oh, Dan.
Dan.
We're trying to show appreciation to our biggest supporter.
I appreciate you.
It takes a lot.
It takes a lot, but you
He hangs out. He hangs out with Joe Hill. He hangs out with.
I made my own coffee now.
You see my friend
at
the show. I can deal with anything.
I'm just saying. I offered. You got coffee. Did you not get coffee?
I did get coffee.
Then why are you breaking my balls in public?
I'm not.
You. Nobody knew it was happening.
Everybody knew. Everybody. It was a little disturbing. I could hear the chewing, Dan. Now, George.
I heard it right behind me. That was your ass.
Exactly.
Anyway. Dan coming?
This is you're seeing the magic happen. This is pretty much.
This is Wednesday night, boys.
This is Wednesday. This is exactly what happened. Omega taking it all in.
He doesn't know.
I guess
usually I'm flipping the top bean.
I
you're mad?
I want to get back to George's
story.
Well,
I didn't ask him.
WrestleMania 2.
Anyway, Baldy comes out.
Whoa. Continue the story.
Hope you fall.
You would.
With your coffee on your face.
That really grinds my gears.
That does grind my gears. Don't make me play this music.
I got a lot to say. Your nipple grinds my gears. Will you shut the... Come on.
Wait, is it... Oh, there's a bit of a nipple.
Yeah, he's like, hey.
He has large areolas. I love saying areolas. Any chance I can say it.
And I am proud of that, by the way.
Would you like something to eat?
No, I was... Dan, you were just... I thought you were going to start using the mixing bowl.
Would you like that?
I thought you were just going to say,
boys,
no, go ahead, guys.
Podcast. Jesus
Christ.
I know. Would you like?
You've seen Wednesday.
Would you like
finish.
Something?
We're off the rails here.
Podcast.
I would
like to hear the podcast.
He's
no, thank you.
Thank you.
No, I don't want anything. Just George. WrestleMania.
Would you like
WrestleMania 2? Stop it.
You...
I would actually.
Thanks.
He's hungry. WrestleMania 2. That's where you left off.
I'm hungry for knowledge.
WrestleMania 2.
No. That's kind of what got me started. And then I was the guy watching, you know, Saturday mornings, 10 a.m., Superstars, Challenge.
10 a.m.
Wrestling Challenge. And then the syndicated NWA.
World Championship Wrestling, and I'll even admit this out loud, I didn't watch GLOW once in a while.
What guy didn't watch GLOW?
Yeah. For that reason alone. Did you watch that? I'm like, yeah, I watched that.
I'll admit that out loud, too.
I'll celebrate that.
When they came to Philadelphia, I helped set the ring up for a while.
I've watched the wrestling, too, every night.
To set the ring up. Thought it would be fun. Setting a ring up,
not fun at all.
It would have been worth to pay my own ticket in, other than
setting up a ring. A lot of people don't realize how heavy those poles are, how heavy, because everything's as long, the boards that are underneath are as long as the ring. They're not broken up, it's long. It's heavy. I don't like manual labor. But go ahead.
No kidding.
I don't.
You and I are...
Okay, Dan, it's not about you, it's about George.
I've worked somewhere else all my life, so it would be nothing to me.
I know, this is what this guy does.
Becomes a college. I do gates for a living. Boo.
Go ahead, George. Spotlight's on you.
Spotlight's on George. So how did we transition from a WWF at the time, NWA, Crockett, GLOW guy.
More Crockett than anything, because I loved NWA. Loved. In fact, was watching the Great American Badge 86 this morning.
What did that?
On VHS. Yeah, I'm old. I can get it.
Oh, yeah? I'll one up you.
Talking Ric Flair from Better Stadium.
Beta Max.
Jesus.
Now,
I was there.
You have that?
Yes.
I gotta see that. I haven't seen that in a long time.
I sat there transcribed.
It'll be
like
on WWE 24/7 soon.
I canceled that. It's pissing me off.
I canceled it too.
Not to go on YouTube, but just to watch the old tapes.
Now,
I have tons of stories.
When did it happen that you became a CZW fan? Because I know in the earlier days you were big into like the Zandig era. You were big into the.
Jesus.
Well, I was big into ECW, and then when that ended, I kind of like lulled for a little bit, and
a lot of us did in this area.
Yeah, happened to. Come across Evan Mantle one time and met some of the guys at a place up there. Won't mention where. then my one point when he did this, I think it was the third show at the arena.
Okay.
In February.
So you're talking pretty early. You're talking Okay, yeah.
I kind of got in a little bit later, but not too late. But
no, that's still pretty young in their existence.
Basically, became like I spent. Probably every weekend in Philadelphia, because at the time there was always a show going on.
Yeah, we're talking about the era.
It was like Ring of Honor was at the Murphy Rec Center. Mm-hmm. what the arena was, CZW, 3PW, 3PW. After a while.
I'm going to say, I missed the CZW thing, but I went to 3PW.
We were there. We were there every Saturday night. It was like clockwork. Just get together.
We've probably been in the same shows eventually, just did not know each other.
Well,
in that arena?
We got there early.
I don't think
we got our spot up front. We went to Tony Luke's. We got our food. We came back. We met the same 27 people.
Yeah, I don't think that Bill, you were in the ECW thing because little Bill, your daughter whacked you with a chair.
Well, yeah.
While watching.
ECW
was not my favorite person.
Was on at dinner time when I come home from work. So she was just toddling around and we were I remember we were getting Hamburger Helper. She comes running into the kitchen and goes, kills the gimmick. And we know ECW never did gimmicks, right, Dudley's?
Yeah.
So she comes running in, Dad, the Ducky Boys are on. I'm like, what? So we go back in, and it's the Dudley. It happened to be the Dudley Boys. So laying there, eating dinner on the floor, watching ECW. And all I hear is, got quiet, and all I heard was my wife go, no. Then I just felt a chair across the back of my head.
Oh, she hit your head?
Wait, the question is, did you sell it?
Yeah. It was sold better than the most independent wrestlers.
Okay.
I want to be clear that Bill Olson, the views and opinions of that last sentence was not from Hell in a Cell.
But it's true, though. It's true.
But it's true.
Come on, we'll get into this in a second because now everybody's been introduced. But finish the story with.
Then, she's trying to say ECW, and she's like, EC, and I was just like, you got to be kidding me. So we kind of stopped watching wrestling with her around. We would tape it and watch it at other points, and.
But you got out of it.
Yeah, because like. There was a good 10 years that I didn't watch. Like, everybody was like, oh, when New Moon got reborn and Tank Colin was coming, everybody was like, oh, he's from WWE. And I was like, he is?
Yeah.
Well, I had no idea.
People in the business even say that. Oh.
Sorry.
It's true, though. I mean,
I flipped in and out to see what was going on, and it was a good time to check out because it was bad. So.
Yeah, no, I can
from
see
where
that. Like,
from
yeah.
my standpoint, it was bad. Other people might have liked it, but that's their
fault. Well, have you gone back and seen any of the original ECW stuff?
I watched the WWE version of ECW.
Well, that's not ECW. I think you agree.
No, that's not.
Well, you didn't like the vampire?
That don't exist in my world. But
yeah.
I have most of all the ECW that was on TV in Philly on VHS. We taped.
I got
we taped it every week.
Okay. I thought you were completely out of it. You were just... Okay, because we had a conversation on the way to PWS, and it was probably the best conversation I had with you because you were so absolutely funny. Basically, you were saying that you were out, but it was going to live shows.
Yeah,
because you kind of get... obsessed with going to a show. Like,
yeah.
is that how it... I mean, is that what it is for you at this point? Like, it's not a sickness, but it's this... I mean, what is it about the live experience that you enjoy so much or sometimes don't enjoy? And I'm not ripping on you, but, I mean, there's some shows you go to that you don't enjoy as much as others, and that's just anywhere. I mean, Ring of Honor, there's a ton of people that most likely last night they thought was the most amazing show they ever saw. However, from my perspective, it felt long. It felt the pacing was off. You couldn't hear things.
You guys called me at 10:30, and
it wasn't done until midnight.
Yeah, and you were like, "And that's intermission. This show's not gonna be over." I'm like, "This is intermission."
Yeah, but getting to the point. I mean, what is it? And George, I'll ask you in a second. But what is it?
The Ring of Honor show last night was you couldn't hear. Like they opened their pay per view with the Briscoe brother.
That you couldn't hear.
Well, with his Delaware accent, he's hard to hear on a good mic.
Yeah.
And you could hear your every third word and probably make it out.
But,
I have no idea what he said.
I don't know. He had the belt. Yeah, he was upset. That's what I ascertained.
Yeah.
The only reason I probably could have guessed what he said is I watched the YouTube video prior to going to the show.
So you know.
So I kind of had a background going on.
But more to the point, the point I was trying to make, not necessarily Ring of Honor, but...
The pacing was off last night. The match ends. Does Ring of Honor have a deal with ice bag companies? They were bringing ice bags out for every wrestler.
Were they? Yeah. I didn't notice that.
Well, how could you? We were probably counting all the
finishes. Yeah, all the false finishes. I didn't realize that
the ice bags.
There were so many false finishes.
Well, there was a ton of them. And just
weren't you?
You know what? This
unnecessary.
This is the only thing I will say about the Adam Cole match.
Which
against
one?
Elgin. You finally break out the Panama Sunrise. He hasn't used it in, what, a year and a half?
And he doesn't sell it.
You finally break that move out. He hits it. Place pops. That's where you finish it. Why would you end it with a German suplex after he hits his finisher that hasn't been used in a year and a half at least? Nobody wants to take that move.
But why didn't...
The Panama Sunrise.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, okay.
Why didn't Elgin sell anywhere?
Elgin's not much of a seller, but we're not talking about Michael Elgin. More my point, the point I was trying to get back to was, what is it, and George is next, what is it about the live experience? Because
for me, it's like, I like going because I can go there for 15, 20, whatever the admission is, sit on my side of the guardrail and say whatever as a release, stress release, whatever, and yell at you within reason.
We've had this conversation.
And as a wrestler, there's a guardrail there for a reason. You stay on your side, I'll stay on my side. But some of them cannot take the fans yelling. Not if the good guys are supposed to be good guys and I don't like you, they get upset that somebody is harassing them.
You know what's odd to me? And I've seen you in action, and I've seen some of these incidents that you're coyly...
They're pretty funny.
Yeah, talking about, but... The thing to me, if I had somebody, now I can understand a face if you're ragging on a face. I can understand why a face would be upset with that type of thing. But if I'm a heel and you're riding my ass that much, man, that's money.
I was going
to
say.
I don't get it.
That's taking.
You take
that to the ring with you and use that.
Exactly. You're the guy, if I was going out there, I would lock eyes with you. And say, that's my guy. I'm performing for this guy tonight. You talk to anybody. Well, not anybody. But,
me.
Yeah. But
booed him out of the building. That was the idea. That's why he's doing what he's doing. And if anybody doesn't get that, sorry, you're a terrible heel.
But anyway, I don't understand if you're a heel why you wouldn't necessarily like the abuse that you give. But so it's a stress release to you.
Good time.
It's kind of it's a family outing.
It's a family.
You ever thought this guy's going to kill me, or do you care?
I think he thought that. I think he thought that. We're not.
You're not a wrestler, but you're not a small guy.
There's been one point that I thought that.
We're not getting into that.
I'm not asking him specifics. I'm asking him a question. Let's answer it his way.
I want to get to George, though.
George, wait. No, are we in a hurry? George, you got somewhere to go, right?
Yes, I did think somebody was going to hit me.
I wasn't asking. You don't have to get specific. Were you ever nervous?
In January of 2012, yes. He thought his life was in.
Was it January? Was it?
It was
early.
January of 2012. I can tell you, he was right up on you.
We're talking about the same guy, right?
Yeah, right up on you.
When?
That's when.
They had to have the pull apart with a certain someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my first ECWA show.
There was. Other things going on that a lot of people didn't know. It was a Facebook.
Well, there was a lot of Facebook
stuff.
There
was a
nonsense,
Facebook and kind of with a group, and there was a whole...
You knew this moment.
But even so, it doesn't make sense that...
There has been accusations thrown the other direction about certain things being said.
It's all nonsense, though. We know that now. You know, that
whole
thing
got blown out of proportion.
I'm asking, was it...
That other person was wrong, and to a degree I was, but
that's what I'm asking.
There was no there at that point. There was no turning around. I wasn't backing down to him,
and he certainly wouldn't.
And he wasn't going to back down either. So that's why I guess the locker room had to empty and come over and pull.
Are you serious?
Oh, it was.
Is this on DVD?
Yeah.
They
They probably took that part out because that was. Like I said, it was my friend. I had no idea who you were. I had no idea who you were. I had no idea what the situation was, anything like that. But
found out quick,
I was like, I thought you were a plant. I thought you were a plant.
We just got both
and that this was part of the. But then I'm like, why? I turned to my friend. It was Anthony. He doesn't go out to the shows or anything anymore.
Now he's a woman. Okay. I might be a little woman, but he never comes.
Whatever. Wow. You are a big woman. But I turned to my friend Anthony and I'm like, I think he's a plant, but why would a face getting, you know, a fan's face? It doesn't make sense. But what is it for you, George?
I can hear the real story off air. That'd be awesome.
I'll tell you.
It's a good story.
It's incredible.
It is a good story. We're trying to keep it.
You can tell me that all day. I love Russ.
The tension's still there, but it's
because he's back. I mean, we could talk about that all day. It doesn't make any sense. But George, what is it for you? The live shows, the live experience. What is it for you?
I'll be honest. It's such a better all around experience. Because I always like this as my example. I went to Unforgiven 2000.
Okay.
Was psyched to go. It was on my birthday. My buddy bought me a ticket. Like all our boys went. Everybody and I sat. I couldn't have sat further away. In that, wherever the hell it was, First Union.
First Union Center.
Now? The Core State's First Union.
What bank bought it last week? I don't know.
Wells Fargo. That's it now.
I had the worst night of my life.
That's terrible. Well, just because you're so disjointed from it?
It was so. For the money you paid, the money to go over the bridge, to park, to buy food, the ticket itself, I spent a small fortune on an experience that I could have really sat home.
And had a better time.
You had better experiences at the ECW arena.
I had a better experience at the Blackwood CYO watching ECW for $15.
That's right, they used to run.
And New Jack and Devon almost ran me and my buddy over because my buddy was staring up at the spaces.
So for you, it's more of a you like the interaction, and I think Bill does too.
Yeah. You're closer. You're part of it. Not saying afterwards you meet the wrestler, but you're part of the show. Like.
But you certainly can be. I mean, I think one of the best examples that we've had was when I was sitting in the crowd at Sideshow Pro and how involved we got during the Kluck Norris match.
Yes.
You know, the chanting. And I mean, that was a fun time. Personally, I like a show like Sideshow because I think fan interaction in that environment can make or break it. If you buy into the gimmick of Xerox, if you buy into the gimmick of Kluck Norris, if you buy into the gimmick of all these different types of characters, that can make or break it.
If you're a fan, you will. You're not going to go there and crap all over it.
Wait a minute.
Well, you got a guy like Bill that does.
I'm the head shooter on
and
shows.
Me and Bill were friends right up until
my
now.
My favorite one he ever did.
There goes my story later.
My favorite one that Bill ever did.
Oh, well, yeah, you tell your story about Bill then. And
No, this is like 3 seconds. It's a real quick one. That's why I was throwing it in real quick. New Moon Frozen Rising, stuff. Nathan Avery comes out. What did you
way
say
more
about
three
his
seconds.
Brother?
No, that was actually his wife.
That was my wife.
Was it her?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that was
Mary Lee.
It. Oh, I take it back.
That was Mary Lee.
I take it back. It was a great line. Your brother's better.
She does it every CZW show. She thinks it's rather clever.
The first time I heard it, it was hilarious. George, back to you.
I think.
Are you sure? That was good.
Yeah. George, back to you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm looking at you.
I know you are.
Let's go. Got things to do.
We do.
Dan, let him go.
Somebody get this guy a pork roll sandwich.
He needs one.
Thank you.
Take out somebody.
Trying to eat.
So for both of you, it's the interaction. It's the fact. Is it getting to know the guys on the indies? I mean, is that part of it? I'll start with George because you've met some guys. You're friendly
I do enjoy after the show meeting up, saying hi. You know, not the typical hey, good match and stuff like that, but just you know, you know, liked you out there, you know, like what you did, how you doing.
Yeah, talking
just
about
it. Talking to them and saying hi. And you're not spending, you're not taking out a loan to go there.
Yeah.
You're not spending a small fortune. And you get, in my opinion, 10 times the experience. Been going to.
That's true. A lot of times. I mean, this year we went up to Allentown to see, or Bethlehem. I'm sorry, it was Bethlehem WWE. It was the same night as it was June 1st or something. Same night.
Yeah,
as,
ECW run.
Yeah, went up there, saw the show, and you're just so far away. I mean, you can pop for certain things that happen, the Shield and everything like that, but it's a different experience. What?
That I was more to the point. That's what I was trying to explain about that show I went to at the Patriot Center in December, the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah. Well, it's a different experience.
It was just, comparing it to an indie show, it's that WWE show was for the kids. I don't know why I was there. It wasn't for me.
Well,
but
you know, a lot of them aren't really.
The WWE, if you're going there, you got to know what you're, like.
It had been 10 years since I've been to a live WWE show.
Yeah, but you got to know what you're going therefore, like if you're going to WWE, you're not going to walk up after the show and say, "Hey, how you doing, Dolph?" Or you're not going to meet the CM Punks.
Yeah.
You're going there because you saw the product on TV, you like it, and you're going to pay a price. Yeah. Like me, my wife, and my kid go to the shows, and when you go to WWE, you just know that you're going.
Well, you're talking merch. You're talking everything.
We went to WWE with my daughter, tickets alone for like 10 rows behind the hockey boards for the three of us were close to $300.
Oh.
$100 all, because it was for my birthday. So we bought three t-shirts at another $100.
Wow. Are they that expensive at the shows? $30?
$25, $30 depending on who you're buying.
You just spent my weekly paycheck at an event.
We're not done.
As I said, I'm done. I would be.
Yeah, but then it's.
I got nothing left.
It's the $5 soda.
Yeah.
It's the $6 hot dog.
It's $10 parking. It's
ten.
Whatever,
exactly. Yes, North Carolina parking.
Philadelphia. Philadelphia parking's like $20, $25.
$20 here for
easy.
Parking.
And if you want VIP parking, that's. You know,
yeah,
50.
Sure, absolutely.
It was 15 if you park in the shady lot, which.
Yeah.
I got a story about that.
So, no, I completely understand with that. And then the thing is, they always tell you that the independents are the place to see the stars of tomorrow. And to an extent, we have had that opportunity.
Yeah,
we've had Adam Cole.
Sammy Callahan's here. He's our
Solomon Crow.
He's Solomon Crow now in NXT. And Adam Cole's probably just.
He has to be close at this point. Can we talk about that?
How is he not?
It's right now.
He probably has to walk up a little more.
No, I don't even think it's that.
What do you think it is?
I think it's personal. It's personal choice. He's probably making enough money
on the indies.
On the indies, he's wrestling.
Well, PWG. He's wrestling the top companies.
Right, and he's right now he's Ring of Honor champion as of last night.
Yeah, world champ. Yeah.
He's
PWG.
PWG champion.
Thanks,
Jerry. And I think. If I'm not mistaken, I heard he has a third title, but I'm not sure what it is. I'm not even sure if it's true.
It's like the Wired Extreme online-only championship.
Who knows? Who knows what it could be, but
the guy,
it could be.
He's a can't-miss, and the question is, does he want
to
go?
Does he turn? But, I mean...
Does he want
to
go?
I know he went to the same tryout as Sammy. He went to that same, it was like a week-long camp that they did.
Right.
Is it the same?
Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards were just down at NXT 2 weeks ago with a tryout. They're still wrestling Ring of Honor right now.
Yeah. No, I see all that. How do you guys see the state of the indies? I wish I could bring you in on this, but you really don't have... Well, what was your experience last night? Now, that was one of your first smaller-scale shows.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to very many smaller scale shows. I mean, I usually I've been to, like, WWE live events.
You've done
televised.
Have you done Raw?
I've done Raw, I've done SmackDown, I've done a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So, but I have gone to a couple. I did a couple of indies
I did a UWF show in North Carolina, which was
like the TNA.
It was when Hermie Sadler they were teaming up with TNA and mostly TNA guys at the time.
Oh boy. Hermie Sadler.
Yeah.
Oh God.
But anyway, yeah, it was fine. It was in a high school gym, literally. But that was the show. But overall, last night I thought I enjoyed the show. I mean, I thought, to your point, there was a lot of it was long, and there was a lot of false finishes. But I mean, overall, I thought the quality of the wrestling was
the
high.
Quality was there, yeah.
I thought obviously the fans were into it, probably overly so. Some of them.
Yeah,
I would say some of the fans are.
Yeah,
and this is coming from Bill.
Some of the fans are a little bit over top. I don't know. I mean, they pay their money just like everybody else. Well, I get it. So
did you feel now Ring of Honor is kind of like that tweener level where you still have the intimacy, but you don't have the you can't walk up and say, "Hey, Adam, that was great. You won the title." You know what I mean?
They had their autograph session prior to the show. They had their free autograph session with a select few of their stars. Prior to management coming out and running things, it was running extremely well. The wrestlers were all happy. They all had their smiles on, and everybody seemed happy to be there. But once management came out, and you could just steal Kevin Nash's line, their smiles went away.
Wow.
And, like, I got my picture with Kevin Steen last night. Prior to management coming out, he came around the table. We weren't leaning over a table to take a picture.
Yeah.
Within 5 minutes of that picture being taken, it was like, no, if you want a picture with them, you have to lean across the table. I'm like, really? Wow. Sorry, I'm out.
Yeah, no, I get your point. But so the state of the independence, George, I'll start with you. You go to a lot of the shows that are at the Proving Grounds. You still go to CZW. Not as
usually
often.
The big shows, I'll do like Best of the Best, maybe Tournament of Death.
Well, how do you see
this?
How do you see the state of the indies right now? Is it on the upswing or is it too saturated? How do you feel about? I think saturation
I think
is a point we can all make about it.
There's too much going on. There's way too much going on in one area. I know I'm just reiterating the same point, but it does. You have like one night and there's 15 shows going on within a 20 mile radius. It's like
look at tonight. You got Ring of Honor running at the Armory again. You have New Moon running at the Proving Grounds.
ECW
is running at Kearney's Point, and I'm sure you could probably find
there's MAWA that's running in Mount Ephraim.
If you look hard enough, you're going to find probably three or four more shows.
Way too much going on at one time.
And I think a lot of the times, you're seeing the same guys on the show. So there's really no difference. And I've had this conversation with some of the wrestlers. There's really no difference. What makes it special to see a guy like, just for an example, to see a guy like Trima at New Moon when you can see him at CZW or vice versa?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why am I going to see Tremont at CZW? I can see him, you know, for less money in a different environment down here.
I can see him next week, five minutes from where I was at last Saturday.
Stuff like that. I think that hurts the value.
How many shows can you afford to go to? And sometimes it's like, all right, now I'm going to a show. It's me, my wife, and my daughter.
Yeah.
So now I got to buy 3 tickets, and
it's still substantially less than a WWE.
But it's still hurting. You still got to figure that into your finances and what you're doing.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'm not.
Then when you take your kid, even at an indie show, they might want a Tremont shirt or a Gacy shirt or it's like.
No, I agree. I agree. I think certainly around here.
$40 for a punk shirt, which.
Yeah, I definitely think.
Punk shirts. I think I've cornered the market on punk stuff at my house.
Yeah, true. Well, even Chris has the punk, but.
I met him at good enough.
What's your point, Dan?
Your shirt.
I didn't have to go ahead. The next question.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
So what I wanted to know is why Hell in the Cell Arena?
Yeah. I mean, what's the genesis of? I think for you, Bill, it was just kind of the natural thing at the time. And I'll give credit where credit is due. I mean, at the time we started out, we were very friendly with ECWA, with Joe Zanoli. He helped us book a lot of the early stuff. Was it just out of that? And then you were like, it was probably curiosity for your sake. You listened to it and you were like,
not bad.
Yeah, you were like, hey, they're not jerks. Not too bad.
I mean, you were doing this stuff down at the ECWA. It was, I mean, I knew some of the guests you were having on, and you could find out different shows, there was different wrestling shows that were coming up, and it was good local information. And then, like, when you brought your MMA on, it was like, I really, when first started listening to the show, I didn't really care about MMA. I watched it a few
times. Well, I really didn't have a format for it at first.
Well,
The first show, I listened back to it, and it was just me talking about the card and for 5 minutes, and it was done.
Yeah.
There wasn't really a format for it.
Well, then I wasn't even really watching MMA on TV because it was like, I watched it way back when the MMA first started, when it was like tournaments.
Oh, yeah, you're talking the early days.
Yeah, and I was like, it just seemed like barroom brawlers and just like...
Well, it's a lot different now.
Yeah, and it's...
It's sanctioned. We've had this talk.
Yeah, we've had this.
And now hearing Chris talk about it and watching it on Fox Sports, knowing some of the background of the guys is a little better than going, all right, this guy's going to beat up this guy for what reason?
Yeah.
And they don't seem like, they don't do storylines. It's like, all right, we're having a fight.
But there are miniature storylines built in, and I think UFC does that good with just planning, like, different things. And what I mean by that, you like tonight, you have that John Jones storyline that tonight he could break a record.
Yeah.
They don't really hammer it home, but it's like, he could do this, history will be made tonight, this, that, the other. Anderson Silva, you watch him, it's like this...
There's always a little subtext, either real or imagined.
It's not even like this thing where... like the GSP-Hendricks fight, everybody wants to see if Hendricks can do it, if he can beat GSP, because GSP has been so dominant. Can Hendricks do it? That sort of thing. So for you, it was just an offshoot of the fact that we were with ECWA, and you grew along with it.
Sticking around.
Yeah, true. There are some people that when whatever happened with ECWA, angrily left the fold, so to say.
That's cool.
That doesn't make sense, but whatever.
Thank you.
I agree.
We're the a-hole.
So, George, how the hell did you get involved in all this?
I got a more complicated story than that one.
Oh, God. I want to hear it. We are in overtime, so this is the perfect place.
Oh, I'm used to that. Got it downloaded the next day.
That's true.
We're 7, so I can go to work and listen.
Well, did you enjoy the last time we went in overtime when we were with Tremont? We're doing it live. We asked the Monster Factory question. Boom! Went into overtime, baby. But go ahead.
It was perfect. So many times I listen, and just all of a sudden, bang, cuts off. I look, I go... I gotta get up earlier now.
Hell in a Cell, George?
Wow. Got out of wrestling for a while. For a couple of years. Thanks to someone. When they weren't here anymore, I...
A woman.
I'll sidetrack and say, I love listening to podcasts.
Okay.
Everybody at work listens to the radio and the same 7 songs playing over again. I listen to... shoot interviews, wrestling podcasts, comedy podcast. I used to get.
Well, how'd you hear about it? Time.
I went hunting one day.
Really?
And was just looking for something new to listen to, and this popped up, and I started listening to it.
No shit.
I didn't think that actually worked with this show.
Yeah, I didn't know.
We actually had organic growth. That's cool.
So was this the one Google hit?
I'm listening, like, oh, that guy, I remember that guy. I used to see him over. Oh, I know that guy, too. It just
and
drew me in, and I'm listening, and sometimes Dan's funny.
thank you. A round of applause. A round of applause for George with the line of the day. There we go. The line of the day goes to George. Okay, so that drew you in. Now, was it a search for independent wrestling or just like, I mean, what was the search?
I listened to, obviously, Cult's podcast. I listened to a bunch of other ones, but this was more
Local.
Local. It was more geared towards me. Of the people I knew, the people I would go to see, and people I had seen or whatever, depending on who you had on.
Nephew, by the way.
Thank you.
No problem.
I try. But...
So it was more local, it was more drawn in,
grown,
the, like the shows that you go to.
Yes. Huh. And I started going to New Moon shortly thereafter.
So did Hell in a Cell draw you in?
To New Moon?
To New Moon?
Actually, yes. It seemed like...
Are you shitting me?
I believe...
Hold on a sec. Say that one more time.
Say that one more time right here.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio drew me to New Moon Rising Wrestling.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Because
go ring that fucking bell.
I believe in the conversation we had one time, you thought that was reversed, but that was...
I did.
I listened to this first. I used to download this and listen to it at work, and...
So you would hear us talking about New Moon. So the idea behind talking about New Moon
was it was 2 minutes away from my house, and I'm like, how the hell did I hear about this sooner?
Nobody promotes the show.
Let's not get into that. But nobody does.
Dan said that, not George.
Yeah, Dan did say that. Promote the show you're on.
So yes, you drew me and.
And your mom.
Mother Burr, who is
Mama Burr.
Still working.
Mama Burr, she'll be with us later on, Mama Burr. But
so we account for 30%.
30% came through so fucking clear, you asshole. But no, tonight we're packing that place. But, oh Jesus.
No,
but,
because stupid me tells everybody I run into about it who might remotely be a wrestling fan, including
you?
Two of my friends.
But see what's
friends online I talk to, like Jason and my buddy T5.
No, you don't understand. That's good. I want it to work so badly.
Yeah, we do.
And it so badly. Everybody out there who has stupid thoughts,
and I'm
such
an attention guy. I told everybody I was going to be on. I'm like, please listen to me today.
I want it to work so badly. And
no, but it's true. I mean, there's
independent promoters have no idea how to promote things at times.
That's the whole thing.
No, but that's very true. There's
and George agreed with him. So.
You know what? And I'll say this: even the big ones around here, whether it's Ring of Honor, whether it's when Ring of Honor comes to town, and CZW, whatever. CZW is very lazy. CZW could have twice that amount of audience in there if they promoted it better. The reason that COD did so well last year was because it's COD. People are going to go for Bloodlust.
See?
Absolutely.
But they could pack the Flyer Skate Zone if they actually said, we got this product that is different. They do, but they're preaching to the choir, and that's what everybody does. Everybody thinks Facebook means something. As far as promoting a show.
No.
It's part of the puzzle,
yeah.
I believe. But a lot of people think that Facebook is the end-all be-all. But if you're preaching to the same 700 people, if you have 700 people that like your page, they already know that your show's the third Saturday. Or they already know that you have the first Saturday. Or they know that you're the second Saturday. Why are you going to keep on badgering these people with the same information? Hey, did you know that, just as an example, Papa Don's wrestling Kakoa tonight? Of course I fucking know, because you fucking told me for the last three weeks.
But I run into wrestling fans where I go on the weekends and say, oh, what are you doing? I'm going to wrestling. Oh, you're going over to Phil? No, I'm going down the street.
Really?
Is wrestling down there?
See, but that's the thing.
Exactly. It's the same conversation every single time.
We
I
didn't fly
it. And I, of course,
that's what it was.
Either have the flyer in my wallet or something new in my wallet where I'm like, hey, this is it, and... Oh, I should come check that out. I'm like, calm down. We're going.
I think with a crowd, you know, and I think with a bigger crowd,
I brought two people.
Especially, I think
it's
with
two
a.
More than I had last time.
But I think with a bigger crowd, I think people, you know, you always hear different people, and whoever it may be, say it doesn't matter if there's five people there, you know. 5,000.
No, I've
but you can see the difference, I think, in the performance. I think a crowd can certainly...
A crowd can make or break a show.
Easily.
Yeah, when you get... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's your podcast.
Please. No.
Clearly not.
You're more.
But they're, I mean, you go there and so it's the crowd's either into it and they pick, like if it's their own fans, they just take... And don't go against the crowd sometimes at certain shows.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I certainly agree with that. I think that's but to wrap this whole thing up, we're fine. We're fine
for
on time.
A little bit, for a little while, at least for another 15.
Okay, well,
kill it before 3.
Harry Barnett from What's Wrong with Wrestling has stopped by. You don't have to get it's fine. We'll pick you up. How you doing, Harry?
Dane, come on, I think you would give me a better introduction than that.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the great Harry Barnett.
But this is Harry Barnett. He has made the trip over from England, and it's definitely good to see him. And of course, what should I call you, Justin? Are you
Are you America, or what are you anymore?
I don't know.
What do you feel like calling me today?
Cobra.
You can't say that on the air.
Right, I can't say that on air right now, yeah.
I like that one. I like going by Cobra. I also like going by Awesome 82.
Okay, but...
Awesome 82.
That's true. That's the new Twitter.
That's the new me.
You know, but while you're here, and actually, Dan, this is for you, too. Dan, you're starting a new podcast starting September 30th.
September 30th, yes. But with
talk about it a little bit. Not too long.
Not about 3 seconds. It's a hockey podcast. All right, moving on. Anyway,
but you're starting September 30th with...
September 30th, 9 o'clock p.m. with Obey the Puck Hockey Podcast.
And
it is with my fiance Kelly.
And you're both huge hockey fans. So...
huge is a word for it. I think Kelly might be a bit obsessive. In a good way.
Is it going to be a hockey podcast or a Flyers podcast?
No, it's going to be hot. She doesn't
like the
Flyers, brother.
They're covering.
No.
I figured since you were Jersey people, so it would definitely be a Flyers.
She was born in Connecticut, but she moved down to Virginia when she was 2. So
I've always wondered what her accent was from. No, I know.
She's northern. Yeah, she has a northern accent. Both of her parents are from Brooklyn. Figure that one out.
Well, because she grew up
right,
the environment.
But still,
it shows
never
the
left.
Environment, Dan.
Yeah.
And
anyway, 9 p.m., we are extending... Come on, I got a whole spiel. We are extending the Hell in the Cell family. It's no longer just Hell in the Cell Talk Radio. It's the Hell in the Cell Radio Network. And we have one more podcast debuting, Justin.
Yeah, this is starting...
No,
do I talk here?
No. You can talk there. It'll hear you.
Is this on? Excuse me.
Tuesday, October 1st. So on September 30th, we're going to have
Obey the Puck.
Have you come up with a name yet?
Robert Downey and I have gotten together. We've decided to go with Moose Knuckle Radio.
Moose Knuckle Radio will be joining the Hellnet. Now, what is the concept behind this? You're going to talk about the projects you're currently working on?
We're going to talk about our current projects. We're going to talk about, I guess David Hasselhoff has to be thrown in there somewhere.
Yeah, you need that.
I just was talking to Harry. We're going to have a segment about video games on there.
Primey!
And John will probably give better dating advice than, what's his name, Brady?
Yeah, what's his name?
I don't know about you, but just... Hey, guys, I have a date tonight. I'm going to cancel all the plans.
He cancels everything.
I'm going to Wildwood. Why? I'm alone.
You know, he did Craigslist, found a casual encounter, and it turned out to be a dude.
And, you know, it turned out to be a dude named Bill. Not that Bill.
Not that Bill.
And,
all the names you had to pick.
All the names. Yeah.
You know, I use Bill often. It's not your fault, Bill.
So, Moose Knuckle Radio.
Yes, Moose Knuckle Radio.
And that starts October 1st. October 1st.
What time?
9:30.
You do a 9:30.
As of now, yes.
Because I mean, it's we've been
and you're gonna
idle
due to my you know legit job.
Yeah,
we've been sitting at idle since leaving the Tony Schmame Schmo, and it's time to take this to the next level.
And I
we
think
have
this is
a good as you stated earlier today. We had 5 people in the room that were more creative than
the output that
the output of certain companies,
but. No, you stick people together.
We have good brains in this right now.
Now, October 2nd, Hell in a Cell Talk Radio will not be on that night. But you will be hearing...
What?
Well,
we need to come up with some commercials.
Well, but you will be hearing an interview that I did with Harry...
Maybe commercials filmed by Moose Knuckle Entertainment?
You can follow Moose Knuckle Entertainment at... what's the Twitter?
Moose
K.E. at Twitter. Oh, follow Obey the Puck.
Do your research.
Obey Puck Show on Twitter.
But you will be hearing...
You can follow me at Awesome82 without the E.
I need a host to actually get to
it. Awesome82 without the E, because if you use the E, then there's some kid in Korea.
Fair enough. October 2nd, you will hear the interview I did with Harry Barnett. I thought it came out very well. It hasn't been
a good time.
Hasn't been heard that much. It certainly hasn't.
You're questioning. Yeah. Come on, Dane. People listen to you. People listen to me. Of course it's been.
So I haven't put it anywhere. It was on the BradyHicks.com. It was buried in 2 days.
Listen,
it was on iTunes and YouTube as well.
Oh, was it?
Hey, I got news for you.
YouTube. I put everything on there. Dan,
Harry.
Are talking.
Well, no, Harry. I was about to compliment you. You now go fuck yourself.
Hey,
I was about to
say take everything to heart.
I was about to say that Harry draws because they're certainly not listening to that show for me.
Hey, you know, whatever it is.
And people are listening.
Come on, sharing's caring. They're listening to both of us.
A little bit.
There you go. See, he is a nice guy. You said he's not
the
getting out of character.
He is. He is. Yeah. Well, he sticks the middle bit.
You said you're number one.
Yeah, he shouldn't spin.
He's Philadelphia Hall.
Yeah, he fits right in, except for when the cops pull him over. Is that on air?
What? No.
What I just said about the cops being pulled over.
Of course that's on air.
Edit point.
I'd pull you over, too. Would you pull him over if you didn't know that was him?
No. I'd knock you over, though.
Pull me over?
Get off the car.
Why are you driving towards the school, you bastard?
Get out of the car, Costanza.
What is Wayne Knight doing in Deckard?
Yeah. Why are you here? Aren't you supposed to be doing some science stuff with Velociraptors?
I dropped the can already.
You
didn't say the magic word. You'll see my new movie coming out next year in October called Jurassic World. It's all about that can I dropped.
Dude, we need that. You know what we need? We need like me trying to get into the.
You didn't say the magic word.
That's the next commercial.
Please.
So, George, Bill, back to you guys. We forgot all about you. But, that is a great story. That George enlightened us that, in fact, he found the podcast first, and we drew him in to New Moon.
That is exactly...
Imagine that.
That was exactly the plan I had when I recruited you, and I figured, well, Brady would drive people away, but you would bring
it all was
Brady
really
that he brought me in as well, but in honesty, it was you.
There you go.
How did you hook up with the podcast being over in England?
How
Brady's network.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
Nice. That's what everybody's been telling him since
he
said
it.
We tried to tell him.
Yeah, it's for you.
Yeah.
But just to wrap it up, this has been great finding out about. I've already heard the stories, but I think you have great stories
Bill,
to tell.
Bill's got like we could give another hour with Bill.
He's
been a fan longer than some wrestlers been wrestling.
He'd call in probably every week, but he's sleeping. He gets up. He says he gets up and he'll see a tweet and he'll just go.
Retweet.
Just like get back to bed. And I can believe it.
I believe it. I do it sometimes too. Like after we did the show with Tremont.
Yeah.
And I went to sleep. I woke up. There was like 6 retweets. I was just like, good night. Went back to sleep.
Good night. But Bill certainly has an interesting story to tell. So does George. Thank you both for being. Part of this show, part of the podcast.
It is great to know that, you know, we're not just wasting our time on Wednesday.
No, it really does.
Well, we used to waste our time on Sunday.
Yeah, but it's one of those things.
I've caught a couple of those Tony Lane shows.
Why would you give them a time? What'd you think? Wait, with us, old ones or new ones?
Hi, Tony Lane.
Welcome
to the Tony Lane show.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to the Tony Lane show. It was painful.
There's great stuff that we have captured, though.
Oh, there's such a funny
about
bit.
Google Plus.
No, well
that's great.
That should probably.
I'm
going
to sue him for defamation.
That should go up on the Spreaker.
That
should go up on the Spreaker.
Please put that up on Spreaker.
I will. I will. Within the week.
Justin, and I want your input on that one.
I think the funniest bit that we ever did on the Tony Lane show was
ceiling fans.
No, not the ceiling. That was funny. Wrestling related, I'm saying, was how we envisioned, because this was around the time Extreme Rising started again.
And
Shane Douglas, we found out. We found out Shane Douglas was working at a Target, and we just envisioned all the ECW originals if they had different jobs.
within said Target.
He's working at a Target.
Yeah, he's like a manager of a Target.
Oh, okay.
And we were like, and Bill Alfonso.
On aisle four, Daddy.
Like Bill Alfonso is like the night shift manager.
Hey, Daddy. Daddy, we gotta
spill
it on aisle four, Daddy.
We gotta spill, Daddy. Just blowing the whistle.
Somebody clean it up, Daddy.
I'll find that. I'll
please
put that.
Find that.
I'll chop it up.
That was one of the times that I was sleeping. That was one of the times that was funny, George.
It was one of the times. See, it was one of those times that I started an idea and he
and
took
just,
it.
That's why when I said earlier at the very beginning, I begged him to come back to Tony Lane because you got nothing to work off of. And I'm sitting there just having a normal, boring conversation about, yeah, it looks like PlayStation 3.
Apple, sample.
Yeah, well, new iPhone's coming out. I hate Apple. I have tits. and I'm like, Dean, you got to come back. I have nothing to work off of.
When
Dean would come on, it was like a left turn, and he'd say something about the ECW originals. Fuck you guys. He would say something about something, and I'd just take it to the next level. It works, I think.
But again, thank
apparently
you. Thank you for finding us. You know, thank you for finding us.
Uh-oh. Dan, the good thing is the three of your family members are listening to the podcast.
Yeah, one of them's here.
Yeah, one of them is.
One of them in the other room ignoring it.
One of the people in the family don't listen.
But Marion doesn't listen at all. Your wife doesn't listen.
No, my wife doesn't either. So.
Yeah, Marion doesn't listen.
Kelly listens.
Does she?
She's listening. She was listening.
Only time Emily listens is if I'm listening. So.
Mary Lee, you know what? Mary Lee does listen every once in a while.
She listens if, like, I'll listen to it first thing Thursday at work.
Yeah.
You know, then to answer Dan's question from the other day.
Forget.
With the three podcasts.
Oh, yes.
I'll listen to Hell in a Cell first. Then.
Oh, wait, you can't.
Then, see, depending on who the two other guests are on, Colt or Austin's show. You usually go to Austin next, then Cabana last.
Really? I thought, you know, I listened to Cabana's show this
even when they're non-wrestling. The only interview that Austin I didn't like, and it wasn't his fault, you can't do anything with David Lee Roth.
Damn.
Yeah, that was...
He interviewed David Lee Roth?
Yeah, because he's trying to branch
out. Boodity,
oh, really?
They were trying to
I can't
branch
see
out
that.
More than...
David Lee
wrestling.
Van I can't Hanley. See that.
Do they have that in England, Van
Why is he trying to branch out, though? Because it's so successful.
Joe Van Hanley.
I mean...
I think it's something the podcast won.
Oh, really?
David Lee Roth.
So they control... Well, not control your content, but...
I don't think they control his content. They kind of
couch over there,
say you might want to...
Yeah.
Because he...
If you want more of an audience... Because they're very audience-driven. I mean, when you write to get on there... Not that I have. But when you write to get on to them...
Maybe Steadfast Pass?
No, but when you write to get on, it's all about numbers and can you verify them, and it's very audience driven. It's not like, hey, we'll grow together.
I think that went over his head.
They're very. I didn't hear it because
oh,
I ignore you a lot.
I didn't say it was him.
Oh,
all right.
Sure. Much like Dan ignored the entire podcast at the time.
Oh. Yeah, when the MMA's going on.
Yeah.
Oh,
what?
Podcast.
Appreciate that.
What?
Maybe you just do due diligence on MMA.
That's true.
I sat down and watched the first episode of I've Been DVRing.
Tough. The Ultimate Fighter, yeah. Tough. The Ultimate Fighter.
Yes. I watched the first episode. I was very intrigued, mostly because of that.
I had one back in the day.
Yeah. Well, on that note,
actually,
Dan,
that's been good. In all seriousness, I did like the first episode. I just haven't had a chance to go back and watch.
Well, and I haven't gone back. And this is the first Tough I've seen since probably Tough 10.
I'll tell you, I'm going to watch it because
the heavyweight one.
Speed's the
heavyweight
one. I can't watch my monster truck.
That was the last one
I
watched.
Yeah, all
about MMA. So I'm going to watch a bunch of dudes punch each other. That's what I'm going to do.
Sound like from West Virginia.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
But
for Harry Barnett.
Yeah, for Harry Barnett, for Justin, just another guy.
Yeah.
By the way, you can follow him at Instant Classic H on Twitter.
Yeah, Instant Classic H.
You saw my life. I'm trying to help.
Which one do you want to be followed by? You're trying to build the other one up, right?
Yeah. AWSOM.
No, I was trying to.
And of course, Moose.
Moose KE.
The other one's dead. We don't.
Starting October 1st,
part of the Moose Knuckle Radio.
That's right.
The other one's dead. You won't be
Bill,
anymore.
What's
yeah,
your Twitter?
Want to follow me at JustinAmerica82. You know.
Are you going to keep that alive? Or are you gonna...
For now. Yeah.
For now. All right.
But I'm not going to be
keep
talking.
Just
you're Billy O'Metz.
Billy O'Metz.
Billy O'Metz.
Come on.
Billy O. Metz on Twitter.
Come on.
If you remember,
Trooper Tom.
It's Trooper Thorne.
Trooper Thorne 9. Thorne
That's
nine.
Right. Trooper Thorne 9. Dan?
Dan Law 8-3.
Omega Squad.
And I am, of course, Folsom County. The Dean of Credibility,
the
Double D. You can also follow the blog at HIACTalkRadio.com. You can follow the Twitter at HIACTalkRadio, the Facebook at Facebook.com/HIACTalkRadio. We are also available on iTunes and Stitcher. We have a Spreaker radio as well that we just put up like highlights. The Best of Dan is currently...
13 seconds
currently up there right now.
let me do my version of the Best of Dan show.
Yeah, it's pretty much a little louder, actually.
Just a little bit louder, but thank you all for being here. Thank you, Bill and George.
Thank you.
It's been a fun episode, Harry.
Best birthday present I ever had.
There you go. And
happy birthday!
It's still
happy
going
birthday.
On. That's right. Yeah.
Happy birthday. We'll see you Wednesday night at 9.
That's right. Wednesday night at 9, we're going to have Scott Summers.
Cyclops?
Yeah,
Cyclops. That's why I looked up Scott Summers. I was looking it up on Google so I could, you know, see some of his career, that sort of thing. And I'm like, Cyclops?
Can be my first question.
So what
is it like
wrestling with a binder?
What is it like? What's it like to be not able to see out of your own eyes?
He'll probably get so mad at you.
What is more powerful, in your opinion, Ruby Quartz or adamantium?
You're coming on just to ask that question. You're going to call in just for that question.
Do you mean Brady's calling in?
Hey, Scott. Hey, I'm the Rob Lowe, pal.
And of course, the return of Ryan.
Castellucci!
He will be actually in studio for that. So,
huh? Studio?
Yeah. Yeah. Studio apartment. I have to steal something.
Yeah.
From,
you can't let him in there, right?
Yeah. He,
when was the last time that podcast was in an apartment?
Well, mine or his?
Colts.
I think he just does it backstage now.
Yeah,
right?
We'll
just
see you Wednesday night at 9, everybody.
Yeah, but yeah. Wednesday, so that's Castellucci. We're also going to talk about what happens tonight.
UFC 165, Jones versus Gustafson, and Hendon Burrell versus Eddie White.
Also, we're going to be talking about what might potentially happen tonight.
Yeah, we'll see.
Wait, you mean Justin winning PG-13?
That's right. We have the winner of PG-13 right here, Dan.
Superstar.
The winner of PG-13, but on that note, everyone, thank you.